scripture. I have two separate scriptures I want to share with you this morning from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, and then Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 44. So we'll begin with Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, just that one verse. And these are the words of Jesus when he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." And then a reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, and honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. Today we begin a new series of messages on the kingdom of God. And throughout the Gospels, we find many great stories, many great parables, many wonderful teachings that Jesus has brought to help us have clarity, to bring understanding to what the kingdom of God is all about. It's something on this side of heaven that we're interested in. It's something that we long for, we hope for. We want to learn more about as much as we can. And so we try to, in this series, I'm going to try to tell you a little bit about how Jesus was, even while he was here on earth, bringing the kingdom of God into this world while he was here and preparing his disciples and ultimately preparing us for the kingdom of heaven that is to come. And when we think about something that has such great value, like the kingdom of heaven, like the kingdom of God, we want to share that with others, I hope. And that's why we're here, to learn about the kingdom of God, to learn about Jesus, to learn about his love for the world, and then to take that message and to bring it out into the world so that others can hear about it. Others can know the joy that we know, the joy that we've experienced in Jesus Christ. And so over the next few weeks, I invite you to join us all the rest of this month as we're going to dive into the scriptures, as we search for something that we can share with the community and the world abroad. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, what we will do for things that we see as having great worth, isn't it? It's amazing. People work hard all their lives to build up bank accounts. People work hard all their lives to build up savings and retirement, that they'll have that nest egg that will support them in their elder years. People save for years so that they can buy expensive cars and clothing and belongings. A young man might save up many, many paychecks to purchase that ring that he intends to give to a girl that he's fallen in love with, to ask her to be his wife for the remainder of his days. It seems like when we think that there is something of great value, that we will do anything in order to achieve it, anything to make it ours. We will give everything that we have. We value things in this world typically, by how much they cost. We look at cars, clothing, bank accounts, retirement accounts, possessions, homes, all these things because they are of great value. And so we place value on them based upon how much money they're worth in the world's eyes. Today we're going to visit a story in Scripture that helps us to rethink what is truly valuable, what is truly important, even in this world, as we prepare for the next in the ultimate kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, just in that one verse, and then there's just one other short verse right after it, about something of value. Jesus had been speaking to a large group of people, and he was teaching them about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom where God will have full reign, where God will rule while he is there on the throne. And it's becoming more and more clear as Jesus conducted his earthly ministry what he was trying to establish. That earthly kingdom as well as that heavenly kingdom. And there's always been this difference between the two. And we can see glimpses of heaven now here on earth, and we can feel that God is with us in his presence, but we don't fully comprehend it. The scriptures tell us that one day we will see, and then we will understand, and then all things will be clear. And so right now we may have a clouded or a distorted view of what it might be like ultimately, but we have some scripture to tell us about it. And Jesus is telling this parable to everyone that is listening. And as you know, a parable, or as you may know, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's an earthly story, a teaching mode that Jesus used often and well as the master teacher. He used it so that he could tell other people stories that they could relate to, that he could share with them morals that they needed to adhere to. And as he is telling this story, he stumbles upon a man. And this man, upon a great treasure, this man had a great treasure, and he found this treasure in a field. How many of you have ever found a buried treasure before? Nobody? Oh, Dave. Dave's found a few buried treasures. Somehow this doesn't surprise me, Dave. So, you know, there's time capsules, there's things that are put away. But in biblical times, it wasn't uncommon for people to bury their treasures because they didn't have a bank. There were no safe deposit boxes. There were no vaults. There weren't anything like that. I remember in my great-grandparents' home, they lived through the Great Depression, and they still did not trust the bank system. And so in their home, they had money hidden all over the place. It was under mattresses. It was in shoe boxes stuffed away in closets. They didn't have a safe or anything like that. Grandpa had a spot, great-grandpa had a spot underneath a floor where he tucked away some money. I mean, it was just kind of all over the place, and you just never knew where you were going to find it. So the same is true here in this biblical time where people didn't have a bank to go to like we have, wonderful Bradford National Bank right up here. Shout out to my son Jake, who works there in the loan department. Thank you, Jake, for protecting our funds up there. And, you know, so we got all this going on in this biblical story, and we don't know how long this treasure had been there. We have no inkling of that in this short little scripture, how long it had been there. We don't know how it got there, who buried it. We don't have any information about that story. We don't even really know how the man found it other than he just stumbled upon it, or he saw something that looked like, you know, maybe there was something there and he dug it up and he found this treasure. And of course, when you find a treasure, whatever it may be, something of great value, he was so filled with joy. He was so excited about what he had found that he evidently had dug it up, and he removed it, and he in turn reburied it in a place where he knew where it was going to be. The problem with that always is you got to remember where you buried it, right? When you bury a treasure, it's like today when we give a password to something and we try to, now what was that password that we called that? You have to remember all these things. And so he was so excited about this buried treasure that he reburied, that he found, that he decided he was going to go sell everything that he had. Every single thing that he had, he went to sell it so that he could go back then in turn and buy the field where he had buried this treasure. That's exciting, isn't it? That someone, and to him, it must have been a great value. We don't know exactly any monetary worth, if it was money, if it what it was that he found. The man in the story believed that he found something to be so valuable that he sold everything that he had. He gave up every possession that he had to have it. That's the message of this gospel verse that Jesus is saying here. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like that treasure, that we should be willing to give up anything in order to have it, because everything else will pale in comparison to the great value of God's kingdom. And you see, Jesus believes that living in connection to God and under his rule and reign is worth any kind of cost, any kind of sacrifice. There are a few places within Scripture where Jesus reminds his followers that it costs something to follow Jesus. We don't always think about that. We don't always think about that there's something that we might have to give up. There's some cost, and I'm not just talking about money here, and we'll get to that in a little bit later, but this man has given up everything. There's, as I said, a few different places in Scripture. Perhaps it's a relationship that we have to give up. For instance, being unequally yoked in the Scriptures, it talks about a man and a woman should be equally yoked. That it means that they should both believe in Jesus Christ. There are relationships that addicts have to give up because it's not good to be around certain people who continue that lifestyle when one is trying to give it up. And so the cost of that is something. Sometimes we have to be willing to give up status. And we realize that that's not as important as we think it is. Not only relationships and status, but we, as Christ's followers, we may have to give up worldly pleasures. The things that the world values, the things that we put a price tag on. Maybe it's financial prosperity or personal freedom or selfish desires. But no matter what the cost, whatever it is that you may have to give up, it's worth it. It is worth it. No matter what you have to give up in order to gain the kingdom of God, it is worth it. Now, I want to be clear here that in this scripture, Jesus is not saying that you're buying the kingdom of heaven, that you can buy your way in because you give up something or because of the good deeds that you do. That's not what he is saying here. It is a gift that he has given to us all, each and every one. The reality is that often we chase a lot of things that we think are very valuable. We chase lots of positions. We chase lots of worldly things that we think bring us joy, and that joy is limited. We continue to chase those, and if we're honest with ourselves, we realize, you know what, those things don't really bring us that much joy, and they're not worth very much anyway. Consider now going back in time with me to the gold rush in the 1800s between 1848 and 1855. We're going to take a little history journey here. And if those of you who are still in school probably studied this or know about it, understand that during these early 1800s, people were going west, because there was gold in them thar hills, and everybody wanted to find it. And sure enough, some people went, And there they struck the mother lode, and it changed their lives dramatically because they had great wealth. And yet there were others who traveled west and made many sacrifices the same as others, but when they went and they found what they thought was gold, it turned out not to be. It was what was known as fool's gold, and it looked just like it. How many of you ever panned for gold at one of those western places? I know I have, and it's fun to see, but you know you're just panning for little flakes of fool's gold. It doesn't really amount to anything. So that California gold rush helped people to realize that there was some things of value, but then there were those people who gave up so much and had no return whatsoever. There's a similar story. There's the fool's gold right there on the screen. It looks like gold, doesn't it? But it's not. I want to take a moment to think about where the majority of your time, the majority of your energy, your attention, where does it all go? What is it that you do with your time, your energy, and your attention? Does it go to things that are temporal? Does it go to things that are eternal? Do your efforts go to earthly things? Or do they go toward kingdom events? One good way to know the difference is to ask yourself this question. And I'd like for you to think about this question sincerely. And I'm going to try and do the same. The question that you need to ask yourself is whether or not you're focused on kingdom-oriented things or worldly things is this question. What is going to happen to all my stuff when I'm dead? It's pretty blunt, isn't it? What's going to happen to all the things that I've accumulated when I die? That's a tough question, right? Because I have done many, many funerals as a pastor, and I have yet to see anybody take anything with them in the grave. And if they've had anything in the casket, it stays there. It doesn't go anywhere. It just stays right there. So you have to ask yourself, what's going to happen to your house? If no one else in your family took care of it, we know it would rot, right? Eventually, it would just rot away and be destroyed. What's going to happen to your business? If you own a business or if you had a business, we know that even in this world, while we're still living, businesses aren't always successful. They sometimes fail. What about people? How are you investing in people? You see, that is something that you can do that's going to make a difference. When you invest in people, when you invest in telling them the message of God's kingdom, when you let them know that God is here for them and that He loves them, that is how you're going to make a difference. But it's not going to be with your home or with your popularity or with your bank account or with the car. Those things are all going to go away. Listen to this scripture from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The kingdom of God is worth everything that we have. All of the things mentioned in that scripture, all of the things that I mentioned, are things that will fade away. They're not forever. They're not intended to be. They're here for just a little bit, and then they're gone, just like us. Now, there's another story in the scriptures today where Jesus tells a story about a rich man. It's found in Mark's Gospel, rather, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, which we read earlier. And this rich man encounters Jesus. And I always think that whenever you encounter Jesus, something is going to happen. It's something that we're excited about. Or it could be that Jesus calls us on something. And it's the latter in this case. This man seems to be looking to assure that he has eternal life. He really believes that he has done everything according to the law that he can do. But inside of him, the external things that he could do, but internally, inside of him, it seems like there is something that is missing. And he seems to have a sense of what it is that is missing in his life. Jesus tells the man what he would have already known. Jesus points out to him the law of God when he asks him, "What must I do? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" First of all, Jesus says, "Why are you calling me good? There is no one good except my Father God." Jesus is not denying that he's good, but he's trying to direct the man to the kingdom of God and asking him, "Why is it that you're asking me if I'm good? What's going on inside of you? Let me redirect you to understand what it is that God is trying to tell you internally right now." And so Jesus asked him about the Ten Commandments, and he said, "I've kept all of them." And Jesus lists six of them, of the ten. And this young man, we find out in another account of this same scripture, he was young. It says in this scripture today that he says, "I've done all of those things. I've kept all those commandments. I've done every one of them. I've done all those things." But he still seems to know that he is missing something. And here it comes. And then Jesus tells him about the spot in his life that needs attention. Whenever I preach on this topic, people always seem to come up and say, "Well, you know, he didn't say everybody that's rich is wrong to be rich." No, he didn't say that. But he said it to this man because it was this man's problem. And all of us have similar issues. And I always say that the point of the scripture is that whatever it is that's keeping you from the kingdom of God, Jesus is going to tell you the same thing. Get rid of it and then come follow me. But in this case, he finds out that this man is rich. He has great wealth. There's that one weakness he has is he has stuff. And he loves his stuff more than he loves God. And it becomes very clear then that the external is more valuable to him than the internal relationship with God. And this becomes revealed when Jesus tells him, "Go and sell everything that you have, and then come follow me." The scripture tells us that the man could not do it. He could not give up his earthly belongings. And the scripture says that he then went away sad. I think it's worth noting a couple of things here. Number one, following Jesus is costly. It's not doable for everybody. It's not for the faint of heart. It involves a lot of trust and faith in God to be able to give up and to follow him. So it's cost. There is a sacrificial element to living under God's kingdom. We must all note that as followers of Jesus Christ. What is it today that he's calling you to give up in order to more closely follow him? Second thing that I think we should notice here is this. Jesus didn't negotiate with him. "Oh, well, you can't give up everything? Well, how about 50%? Or how about, you know, let me rephrase that. Let me come back so we can get you to follow. Let's renegotiate this thing. He didn't do that. Jesus didn't back up and say, no, I didn't really mean that because I offended you. No, he stuck to it. He didn't lower his standard. He didn't soften the blow of the gospel message that he was trying to get to this particular man whose issue was that he had wealth that he wasn't willing to give up. Jesus didn't go grab him by the arm and say, come on back here. Let me pull you into the kingdom of heaven. There's something that we have to do. That is to give up. That is to sacrifice. What is it this morning for you? What's hindering you this morning from fully following God and giving into his kingdom? What is it for you this morning? What's holding you back? What's tripping you up? This man refused to see it. And I would venture to say that there are those here today who have said the same thing. Even though maybe we're all here, we know that there's some things that we just refuse to give up. Somebody would come to you and say, if Jesus himself would come to you and say, it's like, I don't know that I can do that. I don't know that I can do that. That's too hard. And if you follow along in this scripture, you realize that later on Jesus talks about the camel going through the eye of the needle, and he speaks about it's difficult for a rich person to get into heaven. Not because they're rich, but because of their heart, because of what's going on in their life. And it's at the time in the Eastern world, the camel was the largest animal and the needle thread was the smallest little opening, so obviously it's impossible. So with man, with humanity, all things are impossible. And he goes on to quote that familiar scripture, but with God, all things are possible. But this man chose his riches instead of the kingdom of God, and he missed out. Number three, you are worth any sacrifice. You are worth any sacrifice. The kingdom of God is a treasure. Maybe you're looking for it this morning. Maybe there's a spot in your heart that's empty. You know that you've done your best to keep the commandments. You know that you've tried your best to live a Christian life and you're doing all you can, but there's still something within you that says, you know, I'm lacking something. There's something more that I need in this world. What is it then that God is telling you to sacrifice? I'm here to remind myself and to you and you this morning as a people that I love and care for deeply that it's worth a sacrifice to follow Jesus. It's worth that sacrifice. But you know what? There was one who made an even greater sacrifice. The one that we will memorialize here momentarily. And ultimately, the price that we pay, it pales in comparison. Man, it pales in comparison to what God may be calling us to give up. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus gave up his life. God sacrificed his one and only Son for this world because he loved us. He gives us the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ so loved each and every one of us that he was willing to offer up the greatest sacrifice. No greater love has one than to lay down his life for a friend. He was willing to offer up his very life so that he could rescue us from sin. And sin is what separates us from God. And Jesus came to build that bridge, to make that chasm disappear, and so that we could find our way back to God, to find our way to heaven one day when he asks us and calls us back home to be there with him. Jesus is the one that sacrificed. He's the one that carried his cross as long as he could. as he marched up to the hill of Golgotha, the place of the skull where he was crucified, hung on a cross as a common criminal, but a man who never sinned, who never did anything wrong. And when we come to realize that the sacrifice that he made for us, and we come to see that trading our temporal for the eternal, the earthly for the divine, the perishable for the imperishable, it's pretty easy trade, or it should be. I ask you again, what is keeping you from living the kingdom life? What is it in your closet? What are you willing to do about it? What are you willing to give up in order to follow Jesus? Understand, it will cost you. But Jesus will never bring you kicking or screaming. Will you be like the man in the first story who is so filled with joy that he went and gave up everything that he had in order to rebuy this field because it contained the greatest treasure, the kingdom of heaven? Or will you be like this rich young man who, when told to give up all of his possessions and give them away to the poor, couldn't do it, and he walked away sad? To me, I see the place in this world as sometimes not very joyful. There's a lot of things in this world that don't bring much joy. There are some things that do, of course, as well. But it's going to pale in comparison to the joy that we're going to see in heaven. What is God calling you to give up this morning? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house once again. We are grateful to hear these stories of Jesus and how they impacted lives in biblical times, and the stories that were told in relatable ways that those who heard them could understand. And yet, Lord, we know that sometimes our eyes are closed and we can't see spiritually. Sometimes our ears don't hear the spiritual message that you've brought to us. We pray, O God, that your Spirit would open our hearts and minds and eyes and ears and hearts, that we would see in new and exciting ways what it is that you have in store for us, and that this life is temporal and that we're only passing through for a little while. But one day, you will call us all home to be with you in that eternal kingdom of heaven. Until that day, Lord, help us to give up what it is that's keeping us from fully experiencing the joy in this life. Help us to rearrange our priorities and then to go and tell other people about what it is that you have done for us, so that they too may understand what it is to know the kingdom of God and to know the great Savior of all the world. We pray all these things in the mighty and powerful and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and good friend. Amen.